Okay, we're continuing this morning. We're on page Kuf Yud Zayin. In the 12th chapter, it talks about issues regarding Chassidus and the connection to Torah through Chassidus. And the Rebbe's telling us that everything we told you until now are just drops of water that revive the person who has fainted. And they're there to stimulate you, but you can't survive on stimulation. But rather, it's work is what you're going to have to get involved with. And I'm getting confused between what I'm doing in this class and the other class. And you have to do the bread and butter work of Yiddishkeit in terms of learning and davening, etc., etc., to be able to accomplish what has to happen. And you can't be lazy in your service. But slowly, slowly, consistent work will get you to that place. So now, we're at the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin. Vim Tishal, and if you're going to ask a question, Ma Zos Chassidus, what is Chassidus? Ubameh Godel Koach HaChassid Oved Hashem Al Oved Hashem She'eno Chassid. What is the greater strength that a chassid has in his service to Hashem over the non-chassid? Okay, what is this that we're trying to reach? So dalecha, you should know, she'ev shelavar lecha odes hadavar. I really can't explain this concept anymore. Mipnei she'en chassidus davar shel seichel levad levaro. Because chassidus is not merely something of seichel, of intellect, in order to explain it. It's not an equation. Haseichel asher b'chassidus hu ra chelek echad mimenu. The intellectual aspect of Chassidus is, as I said, is an aspect of Chassidus, but it is not that which comprises Chassidus. It's not the essence of Chassidus. Uborak imu avoda, but this rather comes with the service of being a Chassid, is the intellectual service. And I think it's a good analogy to explain why you can't explain it. Ukamoshi yevshir, next page, levor baseichel asinu nevua. Just like you can't explain to someone intellectually what the Nevuah experience is like. Kirak ha-Navi yada mahi, because only a Navi really knows what it is. That's low, and for the Navi, ha'isa kol kach pshuta. It was so obvious to him what his experience is. Achlo havin lama gam zulas lo yira. Until it comes to the point where he can't understand why someone else can't have that same prophetic vision. Kamosh Amar Navi, as the prophet himself said, Hashem Elokim Diber. When Hashem speaks, Mila Yinaveh, who doesn't prophesy? So, like, why couldn't others prophesy? Meaning to say, Shalhevin Mihu Asher Lo Yinaveh Kesha Hashem Diber. He doesn't understand who the people are who can't prophesy once Hashem begins to speak. So the prophetic experience is non-describable. We could use certain words, but it isn't going to help. We could say, well, it's when Hashem connects with you. Okay, what does that mean? And Lutzado explains it a bit. Lutzado explains, well, Hashem takes over your whole existence. Okay. Most Navis, it would be an out-of-body experience. Okay. And Hashem shows them the inner realities of the entire world, deeper than what we superficially see. Okay, that's what Lutzado says. Now, do you know how that feels? No. So it's not that helpful to explain to them what the prophetic experience is all about until someone really experiences. So Kain Gama Chassidus, similarly with Chassidus, Shehi Hisgalus Eza Nitzotz Minitzotz Hanavua Sherba Yish Yisrael, where Chassidus is a revelation of some littlest, sparkest of spark of prophecy that's within the Jewish person. As we find in the Gemara in Pesachim, he says in the brackets, that even if the children are not Nevi'im, they're the children of Nevi'im, meaning to say, they have within themselves that spark of prophecy. So that's what Chassidus is. So, Yevshel Levorah Baseich Levad, Lavadasa Velo Riyasa. We can't explain what Chassidus is with intellectual explanation alone, not to describe the service of chassidus and not what it looks like. Not a chassid amiti mispal, how a true chassid davens. Mislaiv umekashis nafsha osbaktushe ilah, how he gets excited and connects his soul then to the holy kedusha. Vechistat mistakel ubatorah, and how he looks at Torah umitzvahs. Ves hahodur naziv haolam, and the beautiful glory, radiant splendor of the world. And how the spark of God's powerful divine presence spreads over the entire world, how he feels that. You can't explain that to someone else. More than that, and the chassid himself, at the moment that he reaches higher levels and gets all excited with his service, he looks around and sees, it's so obvious what it is. But when he falls off of that feeling, he drops. He doesn't even understand himself and what he saw before during the Hasidic moment. So even for the Chassid himself, it's hard for him to know what happened, why I lost it. He can't give all kinds of explanations why this happens. But right now, this is beyond what you're ready for, young man. So don't worry about that. This is beyond you right now, beyond your ability to think, to even want these kinds of things. This is early on in the game. Aval, but even though you're far away from it, to the edge of chassidus, you've already come. You've already started to touch onto it with what we've covered so far in the book. And a little bit from the stick of the forest of honey, you've already tasted. It's an allegory, metaphor, that the sweetness of chassidus, you've already had a little taste of it. If you've begun to let our words enter inside of you up to this point. And if you will consistently work in these areas, you will become a chassid. You will be sheltered with the shade of Hashem, and from the splendor of His divine presence, it will spread over you. So, you know what it feels like to be a chassid? No. Can we explain it in a way you can understand it? No. But if you already learned this and integrated the knowledge, you're already on the edge of chassidus, you're on the chassidic edge, living on the edge. And if you keep doing these things, you will be a chassid one day. Such as, you know, always thinking of Hashem. If you always will think of Hashem, every day you work on it, to the point where every moment you think of Hashem, that's definitely what a chassid is all about. Although, how to describe that feeling? Only you, when you feel that way, will understand it, and you won't be able to explain it to others. So that's as much as you can understand about chassidus at this point in time. And now he gets into an important question. Hinei amarnu l'chalel, we already said to you before, asher b'Torah kala kedusha nimtzo, that all of holiness is found in Torah. Uba im kedusha sa'ein sof tischaber. And in that Torah is connected the holiness of the Infinite One. Now, so theoretically, when you're learning Torah, you should be connected to Hashem. What's the problem? You have to know how to learn Torah. And remember that he said that the Torah is the garment of Hashem, but the real Hashem is inside the Torah. So how do you get to that? So Vereshis called the beginning of that is, you have to reveal your soul that's hidden inside of you. Yeshein af misalefes, the sleeping soul, the fainting soul. And with the aroused soul, you come into Torah. That was a critical exercise, he said, to do. Before you learn Torah, engage your soul. When the soul's engaged, so when your mind is busy understanding the Torah, the soul will be able to connect to Hashem. That was one of the Hasidic techniques, right? Okay, so he said that you have to understand how to find Hashem in the Torah, right? So already told you this. Next page. You've already been shown to know a little bit in these chapters. how and in what way to arouse and reveal that soul. We've talked about that. So now here comes the question. And if someone's going to ask the question, what does your chassidus help? If you're wasting time through those chassidic moments from the time of Torah, you're spending time thinking that Hashem's all around you. You're doing some hispoidus. You're doing some communing with Hashem. You're trying to get that God revelation into yourself. So let's say it takes you 15 minutes. So you've wasted 15 minutes from learning Torah. I could have opened up the Gemara 15 minutes earlier. So I'm wasting time from Torah. How do you justify wasting time from Torah with your Hasidic meditations? That's what the question is. Uma tarviach benafshecha hamagula. What do you benefit by your revealed soul in Torah lo tamo if you're not toiling in Torah? And the truth of the matter is, you won't even become a chassid if you do this. Because an ignorant person is not a chassid. So it's like a double whammy. You're meditating, chassidic meditations. During that time, you're not learning Torah. And we know to be a, the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos says, Lo Amar is Chassid. An ignorant person is not a Chassid. How can you be a Chassid if during this time of Chassidus you're not learning Torah? It's only increasing to your ignorance. That's the question. That is the Misnaged's take on Chassidus. Okay, that's the famous question on Chassidus. So, Aneno kita uso. So we'll answer the person according to his mistake. In other words, answer the person according to the, where he's coming from. Because obviously the first point is the question is really not a question. Because connecting to Hashem is the goal of Torah. Right? And if you're connecting to Hashem through tefillah, that itself is a valuable exercise. But even according to what you're saying, then it's not a valuable exercise. Right? We'll say it like this. That all our words that we've said until this point, af sha achas bayom milimutcha haTorah lo yachtafu mimcha. From everything we've told you to do, you won't even waste 1 hour a day from Torah because you're doing that. Lo yachtafu means will not be grabbed away from you. Chataf, to grab away. Even a sha'achas, even 1 hour in the day, if you're learning, you're not going to have grabbed away from you. You won't lose any time from learning Torah, from doing Hasidic practices. What will you gain? Ach verak es hakotzim yevaru mimcha. But what we will accomplish, it will burn out from you the thorns inside of you. Es revi'yos hasha'os hapnuyos asher atobohem. Those quarter hours that are free, pnuyos, that are free, which you usually waste time. Vesmach shavos habdeilos vavolios esherbacha. And those thoughts, those nullified thoughts, those hot-winded thoughts, those wasted thoughts, that wasted time, right? What will we do? Yach mesumimcha will forcibly grab them away from you. Vimalucha tachtei, and we will fill you up with them instead. Chachma kedusha or v'chassidus, wisdom, holiness, light, and chassidus. Ve'chiyucha l'achai l'hachrish l'sachai, and how can you deny reality? It's an expression. How is the living able to contradict the living? In other words, it's obvious. It's such a clear thing. Right. So what he's saying is like, okay, figure in your day. How much time do you waste? Okay? An hour a day between all your wasting times. You know, including wasting time is reading the newspaper, waste of time. Listening to the news is a waste of time. Every mishigas. If you're playing a handheld game still, it's a waste of time. Right? You know what a waste of time is. At least in a day, most people, non-chassidim, are wasting at least an hour a day. Right? So now we're going to use those, the 50 minutes here, the 50 minutes there, throughout the day. That's when I want you to be a chassid. Not in the middle of first Seder. Not from 9:30 to 1 o'clock. When you're supposed to be learning for 3.5 hours. Then you'll learn. No chassidus. Second Seder from 2 o'clock to 6:30. Learn. Night Seder, 8:30 to 10 o'clock. Learn. I'm not talking about doing chassidus then. That's when you're supposed to learn. And when you're davening, you're supposed to daven. Right? But in that in-between time, right? If you're yeshiva bacher, what do you do, you know, during the lunch break? We have an hour off. What are you doing during that hour? Okay, you're playing basketball, right? Okay, so we're not saying you have to exercise, but there's time for exercise and for chassidus. So do chassidic practices in your free time. That's what we're saying. Don't spend a whole 3.5 hours on chassidus. It's ridiculous. You've got to get beyond that. But it's only meant to be used during those free moments. And there's enough free moments of your day. Think of Hashem. Meditate on Hashem for 15 minutes. Right? You know, a lot of times you got these extra minutes here and there. Let's say you are the rare breed who davens Maariv with a minyan. Okay, if you're of that rare breed who does that. And you notice the clock, 9:45 is Maariv, and it's 9:25. So you gotta leave in 15 minutes. So what do you do in those 15 minutes?
Mm.
Like, you've done what you had to do, you put the kids to bed, now you got 15 minutes. So what do you do during those extra little 15 minutes? Okay, so some of you are, you're doing a chore that your wife gave you, okay, fine. No, but a lot of times, I think I'll look on the internet and I'll look for a Dvar Torah.
Oh.
You know? It'd be better to spend the 50 minutes meditating on Hashem. You know what they should have? They should have, just thinking, just came to mind.
Here it comes.
They should have a Hasidic website that gives you images to meditate on.
Wow.
That you should click on, meditate, you know, call, I don't know what you want to call it. Hasidic online moment, Hasidic moments online.
With a little bit of a niggin.
You know, you have a little Breslov or niggin.
And
you have some amazing pictures of sunrises. And just to meditate in front of your computer for 15 minutes. Maybe a mantra, like I love you Hashem or whatever. A real Hasidic mantra. And just focus on it for 15 minutes, because we don't even know how to meditate. If you're self-meditated, there should be a voice talking to you, telling you how much Hashem loves you. Close your eyes. Think on Hashem. That would be an amazing thing. I think that'd be amazing.
It's
the next job you're going to give me to do, right? Yeah? You know, that would be an amazing thing, because people can't do it themselves. To sit down and do it yourself, you know, we have to hire a guy, bring a guy in for an hour, teach us Rabbi Kirsch, teach us how to meditate. I'm sure you could do this online. Just get yourself a room, turn off the lights, make it dark, just have the screen coming in your face. You know, I need a 15-minute...
Came from
H, he does, so maybe show it to me. Do you have it?
Yeah, the DVD. He had a book, and he has
that DVD that says, like, Sverski. Okay, good. I'm saying it should be online. It should be easily. We'll put it on our website. Okay, good, good. Okay, so who's going to guide this? Who's going to guide this thing that we have to work on? Anyway, but I think that would be an amazing thing. That would be an amazing thing, because... If you want to relax for 15 minutes, relaxation, you have to find a PC way of describing it that they don't think we've gone off the deep edge. Right? A Hasidic relaxing moment. And you can have like 5 different choices, you know. Whatever. That'd be an interesting thing. But that'd be a good use of your 15 minutes during the day. You know, we're just to connect Hashem and feel Hashem's warmth, feel how Hashem loves you, feel how He's hugging you, and you know, all that kind of stuff. That'd be an amazing thing to do. But that's what the Rebbe is saying over here. Again, don't email me another job to do, please. Okay, everyone, here's a great thing. Here's another job for the Rabbi to do. Yeah. Right. Anyway, that's the reality. And now he says, let's get back inside. Habet Nora'e, take a look. Observe. Hey, Machane Hasidim. If you look in the Hasidic camp, Asher b'chol dor v'dor, anim milom de Torah me asher shara machanos b'Yisrael. In every generation, are there poor from learning Torah more so than in the other Jewish camps? Do you think there's more impoverished, scholarly impoverished Hasidim more than in the non-Hasidic camps? Vimbadoras asher levanenu rak lo pchusim hayu bnei haTorah asher bnei haChasidim asher bnei shari Yisrael ufim Yisrael. And in the generations that's before us, are there less scholars amongst the Hasidim from amongst the other Jews according to their numbers? Obviously the Hasidim were outnumbered, but if you do it, you know, per capita Hasidim versus non-Hasidim, are we more ignorant than the rest? I don't think so. Ato b'dor hazeh, now in this generation, Roim Balil, you see clearly. You see, there are more Hasidim who are scholarly per percentage than those that are not Hasidim, the non-Hasidim. Klomer, meaning to say, Bedor Hazeh, this generation, Hayore, that's descended, Rachman HaSan, God should save us. You don't have missing so many scholars. You don't have increased the amount of people leaving Hashem and His Torah of the younger generation of the Hasidic generation of the camp, according to the number of others in the other camps. There are much less Hasidim who are leaving Torah than the non-Hasidim. Per capita, there's more Hasidim that are scholars than non-Hasidim that are scholars. Like I merited to hear from one rabbi who's God-fearing, who's bilti chassid, who's non-chassidic. Heard from a non-chassidic scholar. Didn't call him a snakhed. Didn't call him an opposer. He says, non-chassidic. Bilti chassid.
Yeah, bilti. That's a good term.
Alright? Okay. Sha'amar, that he said, Shebepoland, in Poland, HaChassidus od miskayemes es haTorah v'avodas Hashem. That's a big line. The Chassidus is still maintaining Torah and service to Hashem. It's Chassidus that's saving Yiddishkeit. The Chassidim are still maintaining Torah. Okay? So don't give me this stuff. The Chassidim are not scholarly. U'mikol shekein atem talmid vasikim. And certainly, you conscientious students, kasher tachziru ateres haChassidus liyoshna, when you return the crown of Chassidus back to its glory, v'sashuv liyos min haChassidim arishonim, and if you can return to become like those early Chassidim, belev mishkan hashchina, with a heart that is a sanctuary for the divine presence, uvenishmas Yisrael chayu ba'orei belapid, and with a Jewish soul that's alive and burning like a torch. Next page. Eish al mala, a fire from above. Aleichem v'al kayetzem, upon you and similarly upon other Hasidim like you. When that happens, HaChassidus machrezes, Chassidus screams out and calls out, Mi l'Hashem elai, who is to Hashem, come with me. That's the famous words of Moshe Rabbeinu before the sin of the golden calf. After, who is with me?
After the sin of the golden calf.
What I say, after before, the sin of the golden calf. Who is with me for Hashem? Right? V'lo mispar ha'nashim levad yibre. It's not only we gain in numbers of Chassidim. Shemispar yoser godol min b'chur Yisrael yiyah asher yisnadiv l'tor v'lavoda. It's not just a question of how many, there's a bigger number of young men who are giving up their time to learn Torah and to do service. It's not just that. Rakam Erech Kamus ve Echus HaTor b'chol bocher b'chol ish tisrab benno ve tigdalno, but also the quality, the amount of quantity and quality of Torah of every young man grows. In other words, it's not just we're having more Hasidim, but more Hasidim are spending more hours and they're not wasting time during their learning. You have people who learn 10 hours, but they waste 6 of them. So they're only learning 4. There's quality and quantity. But you'll see, we'll all grow. If more people be dedicated to Chassidus, it would even be greater. Harbe dapim v'shos yoser kolochet yilmad. More pages, more hours, people will be learning. V'yoser yishanes es masav lavor lahamik bohen be'in uvamkus. And people will gird their loins more to serve Hashem and to go more in depth with the deeper learning and the commentary and concentration that's necessary in learning Torah in its greatest way. Right? So he's saying if you're a chassid, you see, if you're a chassid and you feel this connection to Hashem, it's logical. If you feel this connection to Hashem, you feel Hashem's around you all the time, then you're connected to the Ratzon Hashem, to the will of Hashem. And the will of Hashem is to learn Torah. And if you realize that Hashem really can be found in Torah, see, in davening, you're going after Hashem, so to speak. You're opening up your neshama. In davening, you're revealing yourself. That's what davening really does. In davening, he's poyedus, all that kind of stuff. What are you trying to really do? Trying to find your neshama. That's what you're looking for. Once you find your neshama, what does your neshama want to do? Your neshama wants to connect to Hashem. Your neshama wants to find Hashem. And where do you find Hashem if not when you learn Torah? That's where you find Hashem. Okay, yeah, you can find Hashem also. You go out into the fields, you can find Hashem a little bit. But it's not the same. The real finding of Hashem is in Torah. So, can imagine a guy who has his soul revealed versus a guy who hasn't revealed his soul. Who's going to learn more Torah? Who's going to learn more Torah? All right? So that's obviously, if you can become a chassid and the more you are a chassid. So again, like, you know, it's not how you dress that makes you a chassid. Of course, you know, there's what to be said. If you are dressed in certain ways, see, the whole reason that the chassidim dress differently, as, I don't know if the Rebbe here has said it, but the Slonim Rebbe is going to be saying it shortly. I can't remember where I've seen things anymore. But the more you're focused on spiritual and less on physical, then the more you're going to connect to your neshama.
Right.
So if you wear a Hasidic garb, it is like the least this world dress. You're not exactly in style. Right? To put it modestly.
Right. That's a modest statement.
So that already externally is pulling you out of this world. It's externally pulling you out of this world. Your dress, what are you dressed like already? A long black frock. However it's designed, it's long and black, right? And I think the more they're designed, the less, you know, unfortunately there could be its own style within Hasidus, which might not be proper. They should all have the same black frock. No, this one's got this material and this and that. You know, there's a fine line between beautifying the mitzvah and making it a style into itself. So you gotta be careful. But there's still a limited varieties in the black categories.
Very limited.
Or the white categories. There's not a lot. It's not exactly like amazing fashion statements that the rest of the world will be interested in.
No.
I don't know about that. But they never changed it. While everybody else changed it, they didn't change it. I don't believe that. And they always were distinctly seen as different. If they dressed like a lord amongst the peasants, that made them different. Everybody dressed like a schlump. So you dressed nicely. So you had to dress nicely, however the nicer dress was. And I can't believe it was to copy the lords. And you see, when styles change, they didn't change. Right? They did not change. So they still are staying. Certainly now, you dress like a chassid, you obviously are not connecting to this world's fashion, which is one of the strongest pulls into this world, is going after physicality. The more you go after physicality, you can't be dressed cool. You know, there's an expression they used to use. They call it chassidish cool. Chassidish cool. I'm chassidish, but I'm cool. Oxymoron.
That's
an oxymoron to be chassidish cool. Chassidim are not cool. They're not cool. But you have like the ignorant chassidim, the real ignorance without Rebbe, like, you know, or misnagdim who are jealous of the chassidim, but they, you know, the non-chassidim, but they want to look like they're chassidim. So called chassidish cool, where you could have like the fanciest looking frock with sunglasses. you know, and a motorcycle, you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I'm dressed like a chassid, but I'm cool, right? It just can't be. A chassid is not cool. He's not meant to be cool. He don't want to be cool. So that external trapping, we could say, definitely would help someone not slip into the this worldly way. But certainly if you just wear a regular black suit with a white shirt, you're not exactly competing with Christian Dior or whatever. You know, it's not exactly a major, and you got a beard, you're not making any major fashion statements either. So, you know, not to get so hung up on that kind of stuff. A lot of those externals are there to help the internal, and the internal is where the real chassid is. The real chassid lives with Hashem. That's the real chassid, he lives with Hashem. If you're living with Hashem, the more you're living with Hashem, the more you're gonna wanna learn His Torah, cause what else can you do? That's the greatest pleasure that there is to find out more and more about Hashem. And that's where you find Hashem. You find Hashem in the Torah. That only helps for someone who wants to find Hashem. Now go to a non-chassid. What are you learning for? Why are you learning? Why am I learning? Because you're supposed to. Okay, but do you want to learn? Oh, I guess so. So now, who's going to want to learn? Okay, guy's very smart. A lot of intellectual stimulation. But you got to be honest. How exciting is, you know, discussing page after page, an ox scores an ox? It's not that exciting. It's not that exciting unless your neshama is open. Then it's exciting. Then it's exciting. You know. What?
Can't you find Hashem by doing mitzvah?
Sure, you can find Hashem by doing mitzvah, but you only do mitzvah so many hours a day. It's not that many mitzvahs to do a day. It's not that many mitzvahs to do. Okay, you put up your mezuzahs, they're up.
Too,
I'm saying, there's only so much mitzvahs that can be done in a day. Right? There's not that many mitzvahs. On a daily, every day, Yadavin is a mitzvah. Okay, so davening is a big avoid in Chassidus. It's a big avoid in Chassidus. So you're davening 3 hours a day. Good. You're davening 3 hours a day. Excellent. You get, how much time does it take you to give tzedakah? So I'll write 5-6 checks for $1,000. Doesn't take more than 15 minutes. Alright? Doesn't take that long. So they did my tzedakah. I helped somebody. Okay, helped somebody for half an hour. You know. Okay, so you have, so who arranges the food bank? Not the people who can learn Torah, the people who don't learn Torah. You get the people, the secular Jews, to arrange the food bank. If you can be learning Torah, don't go away from learning Torah. You get other people to do it. Nobody can do the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah, but don't spend your whole day doing chesed. Because you're missing the mark. You're not saying chesed, learn Torah all day long and not do chesed either. You do chesed as well. But it doesn't take up the lion's share of your free time. The lion's share of free time is learning Torah. Learning Torah is where it's at. You're going to find Hashem more in your Torah than in your kindness. You will. And therefore, that's you spending your time. The biggest Yetzirah is to get you to do chesed and not to learn Torah. Yetzirah would love you to do anything Jewish but learn Torah. Because you're going to find God more in Torah than anywhere else. Okay, and as long as your neshama hasn't been revealed, Yetzer doesn't want you to reveal that neshama. You do mitzvahs all day long, but they're all superficial mitzvahs. They're not deep. So the more you daven and the more you learn, the deeper you become. Then when you do those acts of kindness, they're much deeper acts of kindness, and that's what's critical. But he's going to tell you that Gemara is hard, man. That learning Torah is hard, man. Right? So you're not going to do it. But so it's obviously who's more motivated to learn if not a chassid. And he'll show you on the next page now, motivation is key to learning more. You know, you're going to want to have another opportunity. Once the neshama is revealed, the neshama screams out what you really want. The neshama wants God. And the place where you find God the easiest and the quickest is inside a sefer. Inside a sefer that has Torah in it. So that you're motivated. You know, it's no different, Lahavdil. Let's say a husband and wife. If the husband really loves the wife, how can you tell? He's interested in her mundane activities that she's telling him about at the end of the day. Well, I want you to know I took Shloimeh to the doctor today, and he was very difficult, and we had to give him a shot, and he was screaming and this and that, and I I called up about a shidduch about our daughter and this and that, all this mundane stuff, and he's genuinely interested. The husband's interested in what went on. Why? Because he loves his wife. If you love your wife, you want to know what she did. What did you do? No matter how mundane it is, but it's my wife. Who's me? It's us. So I want to know, what did we do today with the kids? Right? Then you're genuinely interested in them. Of course, important things. She's going to tell you her feelings and this and that, but I'm not even talking about feelings. I'm talking about mundane things. Not you know, quote unquote important stuff. You know, although everything's, but you know, it's, you know, everything's relative. I had a hard day at Sobeys. You know, I was at the counter. You know, all these little things that, if you love your wife, you want to hear it. If you don't really love your wife, okay, the rabbi told me I'm supposed to listen, so I'll listen. For Shalom Bias, I'll listen, but I'm really not interested. And you're kind of looking at the watch. Okay, I've let her have 15 minutes. Now let's cut away.
There we go.
Now let me turn on the TV and watch something.
TV.
Right? You know, but if you really love her, you're not looking at the clock. It's just talk more, dear. I love every word you're saying. You get what I'm saying? So the same thing with Torah. Like, if you love Hashem and you're looking for Hashem, another minute of Torah is another beautiful thing to hear.
Do things like wash the dishes or do the shopping or do laundry. That's showing less love than actually sitting there listening to her. If you're doing mundane things...
That's right. That's right. Now, of course, you have to help her with the mundane things, too. But the real trick is, Eric, if you'd be listening to all her mundane things, she wouldn't have you wash the dishes. She'd send you to go learn. And she'd be happy to do the dishes. But since you don't listen to her, she should at least do the dishes. At least do something of value. Right? So do the dishes. Now, obviously, the best thing is the husband and wife both do the dishes, and the wife talks to the husband then, and he listens. He says, yes, dear, I understand, dear. It must have felt terrible, etc., etc. I felt similarly one time. You know, they do the dishes. That's a great husband and wife time to be together, because the dishes don't take a lot of time. You got to do them anyway. One washes, one dries. It used to be that way with husbands and wives before they had something called a dishwasher. It was a big churban, big destruction for family harmony. Because that was a built-in time where the husband and wife could be together. It was obviously, the husband did the dishes, or the wife did the dishes, the husband dried, right? Because the husbands would break the plates, right? So, but whatever, one does the other. And it took 15, 20 minutes. To do the dishes and dry them, put them away, and you're right next to each other. Doesn't take a lot of brain power to do the dishes, so they would talk to each other. Now they invented the dishwasher. 5 minutes, they're gone, and let's go and watch the television together, and they're not together anymore. Right? So that was a big thing. It's a big thing to spend time together cleaning up after Shabbos. It's a nice time. That's a good way to force a husband and wife to be together. Anyway, that's the point he's saying over here. So now he's going to explain it through the next column and a half, which will start. That what I've told you outside, that's what he's going to say inside. So he's saying Chassidus will increase your learning of Torah. And this is no different, although on a different spin, than Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's famous vort that we all know. A person asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, if I only have 20 minutes a day to learn, what should I learn? So he said, learn Musar. Okay, so that was the Musar Derech, which is a different way of finding Hashem than the Hasidic way, but it's the same concept. Rav Chaim of Volozhin says the same thing. They weren't Hasidic, but they knew Kabbalah. If you looked in the Nefesh HaChaim, it's full of Kabbalah. And he says, before you learn, you should spend 20 minutes learning Musar. That's the fertilizer that keeps the wheat from spoiling. So you got to have that before you start learning Torah. And talking yeshiva, we had a 20-minute Musar learning after davening and before learning. But it's different. It's a little different than Chassidus, but it's the same concept. You've got to be prepared for learning Torah. That's what he's saying. So now, Hadavar Pashru, it's an obvious answer. Kimbanu liftar asachidof. We have to solve the riddle. Why in our multiple sins have there been so many who distance themselves from learning God's Torah, which is the foundation of our connection to Hashem? And why are there so many people slacking off in their hands from doing the work of learning Torah? Just from laziness and slacking off alone. And what do they do in its place? In its place they choose to do work, physical work that's much harder. Why will a guy run away from a Gemara to do what? To lay bricks. Literally. Why will a guy run away from a Gemara to do the dishes? Right? Why will he run away? Why do they do that? Doesn't make sense. It's the connection to Hashem, learning Torah, and they willingly will do much harder work that doesn't connect you to Hashem. And now during the Eis HaMashber, the time of economic crisis, this must have been during the Depression. Shekvar nochachu gam kulam, even before the Depression was a Depression. Shekvar nochachu gam kulam l'dash enam alochul amischor me'ashrim rabim yosem em re'evim gam tzayim rachman l'san. It's been proven for all us to know that it's not the job, it's not the profession, it's not the business that makes you rich, because there's many, many businessmen and professionals that are starving. But still, the work of Torah, the work of Hashem, tichbad lahem me'avodas achol haftel. It's harder for them to do the learning of Torah than to do mundane work. Va'ozim es avodas haTorah, they leave the service of Torah kedoisha, v'ratzim el avodas tit achomer hachamur v'achamrios, and they run to do work in the slime pits of physicalness, of physicality, right? So why is that happening? Stay tuned tomorrow for the answer.